that the word worthless does apply to observations upon transits of Venus. In Old and New Astronomy, Proctor says that the observations upon the transits of 1761 and 1769 were altogether unsatisfactory. One supposes that anything that is altogether unsatisfactory can't be worth much. In the next transit, of 1874, various nations cooperated. The observations were so disappointing that the Russian, Italian, and Austrian governments refused to participate in the expeditions of 1882. In Reminiscences of an Astronomer, p. 181, Newcomb says that the United States Commission, of which he was secretary, had up to 1902 never published in full its observations, and probably never would, because by that time all other members were either dead or upon the retired list. Method of Mars more monotony because of criticisms of the taking of parallax by simultaneous observations. Dr. David Gill went to the island of Ascension, during the opposition of Mars of 1877, to determine alone, by the diurnal method, the distance of this Earth from the Sun, from positions of Mars. For particulars of Gill's method, see, for instance, Poor's Solar System, p. 86. Here Professor Poor says that, of course, the orbital motion of Mars had to be allowed for, in Gill's calculations. If so, then of course this Earth's orbital motion had to be allowed for. If Dr. Gill knew the space traversed by this Earth in its orbit, and the curvature of its path, he knew the size and shape of the orbit, and consequently the distance from the Sun. Then he took for the basis of his allowance that this Earth is about 93 million miles from the Sun, and calculated that this Earth is about 93 million miles from the Sun. For this classic deduction from the known to the same known, he received a gold medal. In our earlier surveys, we were concerned with the false claim that there can be application of celestial mechanics to celestial phenomena, but, as to later subjects, the method is different. The method of all these calculations is triangulation. One simple question. To what degree can triangulation be relied upon? To great degree in measuring the height of a building, or in the little distances of a surveyor's problems. It is clear enough that astronomers did not invent the telescope. They adopted the spectroscope from another science. Their primary mathematical principle of triangulation they have taken from the surveyors, to whom it is serviceable. The triangle is another emblem of the sterility of the science of astronomy. Upon the coat of arms of this great mule of the sciences, I would draw a prism within a triangle. 9. According to Professor Newcomb, for instance, the distance of the Sun is about 380 times the distance of the Moon as determined by triangulation. But, upon page 22, Popular Astronomy, Newcomb tells of another demonstration, with strikingly different results as determined by triangulation. A split god. The god triangulation is not one undivided deity. The other method with strikingly different results is the method of Aristarchus. It cuts down the distance of the Sun, from 380 to 20 times the distance of the Moon. When an observer upon this Earth sees the Moon half illumined, the angle at the Moon, between observer and Sun, is a right angle, a third line between observer and Sun completes a triangle. According to Aristarchus, the tilt of the third line includes an angle of 86 degrees, making the Sun-Earth line 20 times longer than the Moon-Earth line. In principle, says Newcomb, the method is quite correct and very ingenious, but it cannot be applied in practice. He says that Aristarchus measured wrong, that the angle between the Moon-Earth line and the Earth-Sun line is almost 90 degrees and not 86 degrees. Then he says that the method cannot be applied because no one can determine this angle that he had said is of almost 90 degrees. He says something that is so incongruous with the inflations of astronomers that they'd sizzle if their hypnotized readers could read and think at the same time. Newcomb says that the method of Aristarchus cannot be applied because no astronomer can determine when the Moon is half illumined. We have had some experience. Does anybody who has been through what we've been through suppose that there is a Professor Keeler in the world who would not declare that trigonometrically and spectroscopically and micrometrically he had determined the exact moment and exasperating, or delightful, decimal of a moment of semi-illumination of the moon, were it not that, according to at least as good a mathematician as he, determination based upon that demonstration does show that the sun is only 20 times as far away as the moon? But suppose we agree that this simple thing cannot be done. Then instantly we think of some of the extravagant claims with which astronomers have stuffed supine credulities. Crawling in their unsightly confusion that sickens for simplification, is this offense to harmony? That astronomers can tell under which crusade, or its decimal at moment, a shine left a star, but cannot tell when a shine reaches a line on the moon. Glory and triumph and selectness and inflation, or that we shall have renown as evangelists, spreading the homely and wholesome doctrine of humility. Hollis, in Chats on Astronomy, tells us that the diameter of this earth, at the equator, is 41,851,160 feet. But blessed be the meek, we tell him. In the Observatory, 19-118, is published the determination, by the astronomer Brenner, of the time of rotation of Venus, as to which other astronomers differ by hundreds of days. According to Brenner, the time is 23 hours, 57 minutes, and 7.5459 seconds. I do note that this especial refinement is a little too ethereal for the editor of the Observatory. He hopes Brenner will pardon him, but is it necessary to carry out the finding to the fourth decimal of a second? However, I do not mean to say that all astronomers are as refined as Brenner, for instance. In the Jour BAA, 1-382, Edwin Holmes, perhaps coarsely, expresses some views. He says that such exactness is capped. Nobles in writing that the diameter of Neptune is 38,133 miles and that of Uranus is 33,836 miles is bringing science into contempt, because very little is known of these planets, that, according to Neison, these diameters are 27,000 miles and 28,500 miles. McPherson, in A Century's Progress in Science, quotes Professor Service, that the average parallax of a star, which is an ordinary astronomic quantity, is about equal to the apparent distance between two pins, placed 1 inch apart, and viewed from a distance of 180 miles. Stick pins in a cushion, in New York, go to Saratoga and look at them, be overwhelmed with the more than human powers of the scientifically anointed, or ask them when shines half the moon. The moon's surface is irregular. I do not say that anybody with brains enough to know when he has half a shoe polished should know when the sun has half the moon shined. I do say that if this simple thing cannot be known, the crowings of astronomers as to enormously more difficult determinations are mere barnyard disturbances. Triangulation that, according to his little priests, straddles orbits and on his apex wears a star that he's a false colossus, shrinking, at the touch of data, back from the stars, deflating below the sun and moon, stubbing down below the clouds of this earth, so that the different stories that he told to Aristarchus and to Newcomb are the conflicting vainglories of an earth-tide squatter. The blow that crumples a god. That, by triangulation, there is not an astronomer in the world who can tell the distance of a thing only 5 miles away. Humboldt, Cosmos, 5-138. Height of Mauna Loa, 18,410 feet, according to Cook, 16,611, according to Marchand, 13,761, according to Wilkes, according to triangulation. In the Scientific American, 119-31, a mountain climber calls the editor to account for having written that Mt. Everest is 29,002 feet high. He says that, in his experience, there is always an error of at least 10% in calculating the height of a mountain, so that all that can be said is that Mt. Everest is between 26,100 and 31,900 feet high. In the Scientific American, 102-183, and 319, Miss Annie Peck cites two measurements of a mountain in India, they differ by 4,000 feet. The most effective way of treating this subject is to find a list of measurements of a mountain's height before the mountain was climbed, and compare with the barometric determination, when the mountain was climbed. For a list of 8 measurements, by triangulation, of the height of Mt. St. Elias, see the Alpine Journal, 22-150, they vary from 12,672 to 19,500 feet. D'Abruzzi climbed Mt. St. Elias, August 1, 1897. See a paper, in the Alpine Journal, 19-125. D'Abruzzi barometric determination 18,092 feet. Suppose that, in measuring, by triangulation, the distance of anything 5 miles away, the error is, say, 10%. But, as to anything 10 miles away, there is no knowing what the error would be. By triangulation, the moon has been found to be 240,000 miles away. It may be 240 or 240 million miles away. 10. Pseudo-heart of a phantom thing. It is Keplerism, pulsating with Sir Isaac Newton's regularizations. If triangulation cannot be depended upon accurately to measure distance greater than a mile or two between objects and observers, the aspects of Keplerism that depend upon triangulation should be of no more concern to us than two pins in a cushion 180 miles away. Nevertheless, so affected by something like seasickness are we by the wobbling deductions of the conventionalists that we shall have direct treatment, or independent expressions, whenever we can have, or seem to have, them. Kepler saw a planetary system, and he felt that, if that system could be formulated in terms of proportionality, by discovering one of the relations quantitatively, all its measurements could be deduced. I take from Newcomb, in Popular Astronomy, that, in Kepler's view, there was system in the arrangement and motions of the four little traitors that sneak around Jupiter, that Kepler, with no suspicions of these little betrayers, reasoned that this central body and its accompaniments were a representation, upon a small scale, of the solar system, as a whole. Kepler found that the cubes of mean distances of neighboring satellites of Jupiter, divided by the squares of their times, gave the same quotients. He reasoned that the same relations subsisted among planets, if the solar system be only an enlargement of the Jovian system.